I was sharing before the service about convention and just the new songs that God's been giving. And, you know, it's so wonderful when he just gives something fresh. He puts something fresh in your heart and in your spirit. But, you know, that's what God wants to do. That's his message for us, right? The Christian journey is about receiving newness of life, fresh things, fresh hope, fresh strength. And you kind of see that. It's like God has woven that into the very message of the gospel, into the story of the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? Have you ever wondered, like, Lord, you created an old covenant, and then you said, that's not good enough. I have something new for you. I think he's got a message for us. That's because we come into this world one way, and he says, you know, the way you came in, the nature you have when you were born, that's not good enough. I want to bring you into something new. It's a picture. That's his desire. He wants to do that. You know, Israel, every day, God said, new manna, every day. Go out and get that new manna and feed upon that. The old isn't good enough. As soon as we go to the old, it's like that manna. It gets stinky, right? Breeds worms. And that's what happens when we look to the old in our lives. We have to have that eye, that heart for the new. As Paul said, the new and living way he wants to bring us in to. He wants to pour out his new wine upon us. We've been looking at that in the book of Acts. He had something fresh he wanted to do in his church. Right? He gives us new songs, not just in the natural. It's nice when we can sing new songs and so forth. But in Revelation 14, they're singing new songs in heaven. And, you know, when I get to heaven, I don't want to have regret that they're up there singing a song and I don't know it. I can't sing along with it because I didn't let the Lord take me through a situation in my life that would have birthed that song, right? Maybe God took me through a difficulty, a trial, or a long suffering or something in it, and God wanted to birth a song that I would sing for all eternity. Lord, help me to allow those songs to be birthed as I'm walking in this journey, in this pathway of life. Of course, eventually we know God's going to do away with the old completely. He's going to bring a new heavens and a new earth so that we can enter into the new. Of course, we need to have a heart that desires the new, the fresh things, so that we can enter into the fullness of that. Of course, the culmination is in what he says in Revelation 21, verse 5. Behold, I make all things new, everything. He wants to bring us into the fullness of his kingdom. It's all new. There's nothing old that we can hang on to. It's what he wants to do continually, every day. Today, if you'll hear my voice, I'm going to do something new in your life as we respond to him. I just get the sense that God wants to bring us into fresh experiences, fresh anointings, fresh victories, all of those things associated with coming into our inheritance. For our lives, for our church, our fellowship, and so forth. But, you know, there's that thought that we have to learn to flow with the new. We have to learn to receive the new and flow with it and walk and go along that way. And one of the speakers, Pastor Holmes, he was sharing about Israel entering in their inheritance into something totally new. And he was talking about the two generations, like the generation of Moses, they were always looking behind them. They were just stuck on the old. Every time God wanted to do something new, oh, Egypt. Oh, the food there. Yeah, I like good food. Sometimes I reminisce about a good steak I've had at a restaurant or something, but I can't live on that. I got to look for fresh food, fresh steak, or whatever God wants to give. He wants us to look. And the new generation of Joshua was able to do that. Ooh, God has a land he wants to bring. I think they were probably sick and tired of the parents always talking about the old and say, well, we can't have the old or the new because you disobeyed and we're stuck here going in circles in the wilderness. But he wants to bring us in. And that new generation, they look to the new. And God wants us to have that heart to be a part of the Joshua generation. Doesn't matter what our age is, in the natural, our heart can be after the new. Because they want to flow in the new thing. So as individuals, churches, as a fellowship, as the church as a whole, God is calling us to lead us into new things that we haven't seen. we haven't experienced, we haven't even imagined, because we're in those days where eye hasn't seen or ear hasn't heard and hasn't even entered into our hearts what God is going to do for those who love him, for his church, for the glory he's going to bring her into. But to do that, we have to have hearts that want to flow, that are able to flow with the new. Now, we've looked at these two parables a lot in our church, but you know, I think it's just because God desires us to have hearts to flow with the new. Of course, I'm going to talk about the two parables of the old and the new. The old clothing and the new clothing, and the old wineskins and the new wineskins. And I'm going to read this. I like what the ESV, how it, the kind of the wording it uses. So let's look at Luke chapter 5, 36 through 39. And here's Jesus teaching his disciples, and teaching the multitudes as well, because some of the multitudes were old wineskins and old clothing. He told them a parable, and he said, "No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on the old, because if he does, he'll tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. The new wine has to be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking the old wine, desires the new, because he says the old is good, or the old is better." And so Jesus is giving us two examples of this truth. One is a garment, and the other is a vessel to contain new wine. Now, back in the Old Testament, when the Lord described the priestly garments, he said this in Exodus 28 and verse 2. He said, "The garments were for glory and for beauty." That was the purpose of the priestly garments, for glory and for beauty. And we know that as New Testament believers, right, we're called to be kings and priests. You know, in the Old Testament, it was only one tribe that was willing to stand for the Lord, and so the Lord said, "You're my priests." But in the New Testament, there's no distinction. He said, if you're a believer, you're called to be a priest unto God. And the priest is basically, he ministered to the Lord and to the people. But he did that by making a difference between what was holy and unholy, and saying, "I will follow God." And we're called to follow the Lord as priests. And you know, one thing about the priests is they were to have garments of glory and beauty. But you know, when we're looking at this parable, one of the things that Jesus bring out, in fact, really the key thing, he's bringing out about this garment. What's the difference between an old and a new garment? I've got some old garments that I've had for years, and I still wear them. Why would that be different than something I'd go out to JCPenney's and buy and it's new? Well, the key thing he's bringing out is change. Change. Right? Because one of the qualities of a new garment, depending on the material you get, is that there's that element of change that new material can adjust in size. Right? Usually it shrinks if you put it in hot water, but you know, so you want to be careful. But it can change. Mm-hmm. But the old, what's the thing about the old? It can't change. It's set. It's not going to change no matter what, because it's already had that change take place and now it's set. And so that thought is that God is looking for that ability in us to change, to transform, yielding to him. And this concept of change is very important to the Lord. In Psalm 55 and verse 19, David's writing a psalm and he's kind of lamenting about some people who used to walk with God, but now they're not doing so. And it says, "God will give ear and humble them," speaking of the wicked, "he who is enthroned from of old, because they do not change. They do not fear God." Now, the context of Psalm 55 is it's not talking about the wicked nations, the heathen. It's actually talking, you know, you can read earlier about someone that used to be David's friend. They used to walk into the house of God and take sweet counsel together. But then there was a division. God's hand remained on David and he kept walking with God. Even though he wasn't perfect, David walked with God and he was allowed God to work in him and change him through some difficult experiences. But this other man, it's like there came a point when he went a different direction because he stopped changing. He stopped receiving what God wanted to do in his life. There became some things in his life that he got hard and he didn't change. He no longer changed. Of course, when we don't do that, you seldom just stay in one place. Usually you go backwards. When people stop changing, it's not that they just say, oh, I'll just stay right here. That's a hard thing to do. You usually go backwards instead of going forwards. And so, you know, coming back to this context of garments, is that God is coming to his people desiring to do something new, desiring to bring change. Like he did in his first coming, he wanted to do something new in the midst of Israel, but they had become very set in their ways. They weren't open to change. They believed something and not even the Son of God could get them to change their mind. Lord, help us not to be like that. That not even the Son of God or the Spirit of Christ can get us to change our mind. Because we can be like that old garment that no change can take place. Now, the important idea here, we're not necessarily talking about the age of the garments, right? Because, you know, we all have clothing we've had for a while. So maybe some of them are older than others, you know. But it's not the age. It's that thought of the preservation of the newness. Now, let me illustrate this. Something we see in the life of Israel, you know, they were traveling through the desert for 40 years. That's got to be pretty rough on your clothes, right? You get a little smelly and you got to wash them and all sorts of stuff. But you know what God did? It says in Deuteronomy 8 in verse 4. He says, your clothing will not wear out on you. And your foot won't swell these 40 years. Their clothing didn't wear out. It was like, it was always new. Always fresh. You know, they'd wash it and they'd pull it out of the water, let it dry, and it'd be like a new garment all over again. I don't know if you ladies would appreciate having the same outfit for 40 years. Yeah, the fellows probably wouldn't mind that so much. It takes all the, you know, all the stress out of it. Does my tie match my, you know. But God did that in the natural for Israel, right? He renewed their garments. But that is a message for us. He wants to cause our garments to be new, to have that ability to change and be transformed into garments of glory and beauty. He wants to do that work in our life. Now, back in Luke 5, he brings something out interesting in Luke 5:36. It says, the peace from the new will not match the old. It won't match it. It won't line up. And the King James says it doesn't agree together. Like they don't agree. And that's kind of funny to think of, well, one material doesn't agree with another. But in the Greek, that word to match or to agree, it means to be harmonious and in one accord. And it's actually where we get our English word symphony. Symphony. And what a symphony is many instruments, they're all different, right? You can have an oboe, you can have a bassoon, you can have violins and all sorts of, but they're all playing and flowing together, making beautiful music. That's that symphony. But if one of those instruments is out of tune or, heaven forbid, playing a different song, how terrible would that be? Right? I don't know if you've ever gone to one, but I've never been to a concert where they were all playing this beautiful tune except one instrument was off playing something else. Totally different. That wouldn't work. No one would come to that concert because it just takes one instrument to ruin everything, right? And so the Lord's using that, talking about our hearts and our lives. If there's one area that we say, well, I'm going to give myself to God in this way, but this one little area, that's mine. I'm going to hold that back for myself and enjoy myself in that area. Well, that's like having an old garment because we're singing our own tune and it'll cause our whole garment to get old and not be able to change. The other example is Christ gave was pouring new wine into old wineskins. And of course, one of the characteristics of new wine is that it expands, right? That fermentation process takes place and it creates a lot of pressure. You know, someone was telling us how their family used to bottle fresh grape juice. So they put it in glass bottles and store it out on their porch. And they said every once in a while, they'd hear this big explosion. It's because they left it too long and it started to ferment. And when it ferments, it's, you know, it'll explode if it doesn't have a release valve for the pressure. And so back in Jesus' day, the way they deal with that fermentation process is they put the new wine into animal skins, probably, you know, goat skins, and they had that enough flex to withstand the pressure. They blow up like a balloon, you know, and then when they finally, I don't know how the process works, but they had to have that flex to handle that process. And when grape juice ferments, it actually, a change takes place at the molecular level. The molecules are changing. And it's the glucose, I had to look it up. The glucose breaks down and it actually releases carbon dioxide gas, which creates pressure that causes that to take place. But, you know, that's the beauty that Christ wants to do in us. He wants to change us at the very fiber of our being, every part of us. He wants to bring that change about. Like it says in Isaiah 28:10, He wants to meet with us and change us precept by precept, line by line, here a little, there a little. And each time we meet with the Lord, we humble ourselves, we submit ourselves to His process of transformation. We're changed into His image. Sometimes it's little changes here and there, right? He says, well, just yield this to me, and we're able to say, okay, Lord, I surrender. Take this, work this in me. Other times there's great pressure. Because it's a bigger struggle for us, right? You know, it's, oh, Lord, this is a little harder. And it's like, it's a little more difficult. But as we submit to Him and allow Him to work in us, we're transformed. You know, the Apostle Paul described a season of ministry when they're in Asia Minor. In 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10, it says, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch we despaired even of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We wouldn't trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivers us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Paul went through some great pressure, intensity of times, you know, as he was following the Lord and raising up works and so forth. Sometimes he wanted to give up. Well, he even expressed that. It's like, sometimes I think I'd rather just go to heaven. But I stay here for the sake of those who need me, right? For his spiritual children. But he went through such pressure for them. And, you know, sometimes we can experience that pressure of God working in our lives. And, you know, we say, oh, man, I don't know if I can take this. But we also remember that God said He won't tempt us. He won't test us above what we can handle. As we surrender. Now, if we don't surrender, then it might cause our skin to burst. That's where we can run into trouble. But as we follow Him, there'll be times when we feel like we're pressed out of measure. Lord, can I give this to You? I wonder if Abraham was feeling like that when he woke up one morning and the Lord said, Abraham, give me your son. Give me the thing that's most precious to You. That's how we know Abraham was a new wineskin. He could expand and he could withstand what God wanted to do and yield to it and produce a beautiful wine that we are being blessed by as children of Abraham, of faith, of the faith of our father Abraham. God wants to meet with us and transform us, make us new wineskins. Of course, we have to come back to that thought that Jesus was saying, because the problem is the old wineskins. That's our nature. That's how we're born. We're born. Isn't that kind of a funny thing? We're born as old wineskins. We're inflexible. We're old, cracked and crinkled, you know, and doesn't want to receive the new. But God wants to come in and soften us by the oil of His Spirit. Right? As we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, it just softens us and, you know, renews us. Like the Israelite, you know, just their clothes were renewed every day. And God can come and do that. But those old wineskins, boy, they get stiff, they get hard, and they just can't handle the pressure anymore. So they crack and leak out, and the new wine's destroyed. And as we've mentioned with the garments, the problem is not in age. God can sustain that newness of life as we're soft and flexible with Him, but the problem comes in our hearts. A little hardness starts to creep in. A little area we've kept off from God entering in, and it affects the whole, our whole being. Or maybe attitudes or things we have because of people, relationships. And most of the time we're dealing with these areas in our heart. It is attitudes and responses and relationships with others. We had a good friend of ours, some of you know him, but he was having a medical problem, which is unusual because he was a pretty healthy guy, right? He ate well and came from a family who had good health and so forth. But he was experiencing shortness of breath, trouble breathing, and was wondering what was going on. So he went to get it checked out, and he was surprised to find he was having heart trouble. You know, his heart was causing him issues, and he had to get that dealt with fast. But they found, as they went to a specialist, it was because of an unusual condition. Turns out his liver was producing this little protein, and as the protein traveled to his heart, it was making it physically hard. Right? His heart was physically hardening just because some little protein was being produced by his liver, and it was hardening his heart. And so, you know, he had to go to the specialist, and thankfully they developed a new drug that actually cancels out or deals with that protein, stops the liver producing the protein. And he was able to get there in time, so forth. But, you know, that spoke to me. The power of something tiny. How big is a protein? I don't know. I mean, it's microscopic. It's in your blood, so it's pretty small. That little protein had such a great effect on his body. But, you know, that's in the natural. The spiritual is so much more important because that's our eternity. We can let some little thing stay in us and say, well, you know, it's just trouble I have that person. I can handle it. No big deal. But yet, at the meantime, it's producing something in our that's hardening our hearts, and we don't even realize it. And so maybe we need to go to the heavenly heart specialist and say, Lord, is there something in me? Lord, I'm kind of having trouble with this person. Is there something there that this is producing that's going to... I don't want to be an old wineskin. None of us want to be. I don't know of an old wineskin that wants to be an old wineskin, right? We want God. We want what He wants to do in us. It's the capability. If there's something in us that's producing that protein and it hardens us because of a relationship, a situation, it's so important we address that. Because it will limit us. It'll limit the work of the Spirit in us. You know, for the disciples, the new wine didn't flow till after those days in the upper room, making things right, coming in one accord, seeking God. And when they were all in one accord, everything was dealt with. They were clean. God had worked in them. Then the Spirit absolutely poured out. And the church knew new wine. Right? We want that. And if that's the cry of our heart, it will release the power of His Spirit to work in us, in our churches, in our fellowship, and everything. You know, we in our Bible study, we were sharing a story about the Hebrides revival. And, you know, it was a story of how these two ladies just felt a burden to pray for their islands. These islands are off the coast of Scotland. And they prayed, and God met with them. They felt to pray for revival and told their pastor, and their pastor called the prayer meeting. And in that prayer meeting, a young man stood up and read Psalm 24. Let's read that again. Psalm 24, 3-4. It says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will stand in His holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart." Then he said something. He closed the Bible and he said, you know, it seems so silly, so pointless for us all to be praying for revival and asking God to move if we are not rightly related to God ourselves. If there's something in our hearts and then we're saying, Lord, move in your revival. And so he lifted his hands to the Lord and he said, Lord, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? And as he did that, he fell on his knees and the spirit of conviction fell on him and he started crying out to God. And it fell on everyone else and they started crying out to God. And you know, that movement was really birthed there. And then God brought a man named Duncan Campbell to lead that movement. Or God used him, I should say. And, you know, that paved the way for the revival to flow to the rest of those islands. And, you know, I was reading, even today, those islands still feel the effect. There's like a little separation between them and the mainland. And it's like that there's a preservation of the work of God. There's still a sense of holiness, of reverence in the churches there and so forth. And, you know, that's saying a lot considering the general state of Europe, right? And the West is very apathetic towards God. But, you know, it started with that young man. Lord, come in and cleanse these things. Come in and work and make me new. Make me new. You know, it started with that cry, that heart cry. The invitation for God to work in and work on the state of his heart so he could contain the new move, the new things that God wanted him to do. I just want to close with these familiar but precious verses in Isaiah. Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 3. You know, this is what we want. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. That's our cry. We want that. But then it says, enlarge. Enlarge your tent. Let them stretch forth your curtains and the habitations. Spare not, lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes, for you shall break forth on the right and on the left, and your seed will inherit the Gentiles, and those desolate cities will become inhabited. That's the cry of God for us, but you know what it takes? It takes some stretching. Flexibility. We can't be the old. We have to be the new. Only the new are going to be able to stretch and contain the new wine of what God wants to do. The glory and the beauty. Now, we've talked about the last days, you know, different times, and the glory of God is going to come upon his church in a way that we've never seen it before. The garments upon his people are going to be for true glory and beauty. I mean, people are going to look at Christians and be like, man, what is different about you? It's going to be the glory and the beauty of God as God has given them new garments, renewed them as we have contained, we're vessels for the new wine. But, you know, we have to allow the Lord to come in. You know, there's that need for renewal of spiritual garments. You know, if God can renew Israel's garments every day so they never wore out, then he can renew our garments. He can renew us. To make our hearts soft and flexible, to receive the new wine of what he wants to do in our midst. And so let's cry out to God, Lord, bring a renewal. Touch those areas. Even reveal it. Because, you know, just like that little protein is so small, you don't even know it's there. Lord, am I producing a protein? Is there something, some situation that I didn't see was a big deal, but yet it's allowing a hardness to come? You know, that hardness is so terrible because we think we're okay, but yet really it's blocking us from hearing the voice of God, from receiving the work he wants to do and being changed and transformed. And so we can cry out, Lord, reveal those things in me, renew me so I can receive the fullness of the new wine of your Spirit. And Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the gift of your Son and the gift of your Spirit. Lord, we invite you to come afresh within us. Lord, would you work? Lord, we just cry out to you, Lord, that you would turn us and transform us. Make us new wineskins. Lord, transform us that we would have those garments upon us that will be for glory and for beauty. Lord, if there's stiffness or resistance or, Lord, a hardness within us, Lord, we confess, Lord, that's how we're born and that's how we sometimes get back to if we're not careful, Lord. So we just give ourselves to you. Would you come and work afresh in our midst? We invite you, Holy Spirit. We just thank you, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.